All right, everyone, I got a question. Are you ready for some degeneracy? Because it's Grimm's Hentai Corner, and we are back with Bible Black. I like the sound of that. And this one doesn't really have any hentai scenes this day, so I'm sorry, but the next one does, so you'll just have to kind of wait. But this has a lot of occult discussion, so I may be ranting about some other things. Anyway, let's get started. As always, I blatantly ignore Imari, who's trying to wake me up. I was up till 3 in the morning last night reading that book. Even so, I have yet to fully grasp the details of the ritual. You don't plan to get up, eh? Okay, then. After some rustling sounds, I can hear Imari talking to herself. Well, I have just a thing for someone like you. Tell me, Mike, why? What exactly is this? Well, you see, it's something that was designed for those who can't seem to get up in the morning with just a standard alarm clock. It's an innovative tool that fully utilizes the wonders of science. It's quite simple. You set the timer and attach the cord to the person's body. When it's time to get up, you'll have a pleasant wake-up experience thanks to a high-voltage electrical current. Damn. Well, this is amazing, Mike. Now even someone like me with low blood pressure won't have to worry about getting up anymore. Now then, why don't we see how this works? Here we go. I can feel something being attached to my leg. Click. Zap. I jump out of bed when a powerful jolt of electricity rocks my body. When I put my hands on my head, all of my hair is standing on end. Oh no, was that a little too strong? Are you trying to kill me? I scream at Imari. What the hell is this? I take a closer look at the wristband-like thing around my leg. There's a cord running from it. I trace the cord back to a strange-looking black box. It looks like a huge alarm clock. I bought it on the home shopping network. It's designed to make you jump out of bed with a time electric shock. Who would ever heard of such a barbaric device? Isn't it more like a suicide machine? I don't get it. I didn't set the voltage that high. So saying, Imari starts inspecting the dial on the black box. Oh wait, sorry, I had the output level on maximum. I misread minimum for maximum, ha ha ha, sure. Misread, huh? Just how much voltage do you think you need to shock someone with to wake him up? If I had a weak heart, I'd be dead now, guaranteed. I can rip off the wristband thing and climb out, I'm sorry, I rip off the wristband thing and climb out of bed. Jeez, I can't believe she bought such a thing. I thought it would be perfect for you, Minase. Imari says this softly in an apologetic tone as I start getting dressed in a huff. Well, it's for you, so use it, okay? Over my dead body. We're off to school as usual. It doesn't feel right. It's just like always. It's hard to believe that I cast that magic spell yesterday. There's no question that Imari is the same old Imari she was yesterday. But how can that be? I'm sure I cast a spell on Imari. Hey, what? Do you feel any different? What do you mean? You know, like, do you feel differently about me, maybe? I mean, don't you feel anything when you look at me? Not really. Oh, but wait. Imari looks over at me as if something's occurred to her. What? You've got bedhead. Duh. No good, it just didn't take effect, that spell. But why? There was no questioning the power of the spell I cast on Mirai. So how could Amari be unaffected? I know I didn't mess up the spell, so how come I succeeded with one and not the other? Or is it that there's some kind of difference between the two girls? Come to think of it, the Book of Magic did have a cautionary note at the end. If the receiver of the spell has any feelings for the one who casts it, it is doubtful whether the spell will take effect. False love is powerless before true love. But Amari couldn't possibly. Door opens. There are hardly any students in the classroom yet. I go to my seat and kill time until class starts by daydreaming. Bell rings. The last bell rings, signaling the end of my morning class. It's time for lunch. Let's have lunch together. So saying, Amari brings her chair over to my desk. She's got a little lunchbox wrapped in a cute-looking cloth. I have no choice but to have lunch with Amari. Needless to say, I'm doing her a favor by eating with her, so I'm not gonna forget to try and get some kind of award out of it. Let's eat! Amari and I both eat from our respective lunchboxes in silence. But I don't forget to keep an eye on Amari's lunch. I decide on what I'm going to steal, then reach over with my chopsticks when she's not looking. Swoosh! Munch! It's good, huh? She didn't notice. I get carried away and settle on another objective. Swoosh! Munch! Munch, munch, munch. Hey, you're eating my food, aren't you? No. No, I'm not. Liar, then show me what you've got in your mouth. Munch, munch, munch. In a rush, I chew up what I've stolen and open my mouth for Amari's inspection. Hey, don't show me your filthy mouth. Amari shouts upon seeing the unidentifiable chewed up mess inside my mouth. How rude. She's the one who told me to show her. She doesn't have to hit me. Anyway, our fun-filled lunchtime is soon over, and as soon as I've cleared my desk, I leave the room to go to the bathroom. I'm walking down the hall when I hear a voice. It belongs to Miss Takashiro. Yes, Miss Takashiro? Takashiro looks straight into my eyes and begins to speak slowly. Minase, is it true that you've recently started practicing something like black magic at school? Because of the incident with Mirai yesterday, some rumors had started among the students. But I had no idea the teachers had already heard about it, too. I don't approve of people doing such things at school, even if it's a joke. She says this with a serious look on her face. It was far from her usual cheery expression. Sorry, I'll be careful. I apologize like a good student. I'm a little irritated that I'm being reproached like this. It's just a rumor and no one can prove it, but I just didn't feel like protesting. Is that all? Yes. I look away from Takashiro and walk past her. Wait, I stop when I hear her calling to me again. Oh, it's nothing. Never mind. She looks a little conflicted, but then she shakes her head as she says this. If there's anything I can do, just let me know. I'll help you. I'm a little suspicious of Takashiro, but I just bow my head slightly and walk away. Takashiro was acting a little weird just now. It's not like her to be so hypersensitive over something trivial like rumors of black magic. The afternoon class begins. The final bell rings and I clear my desk and pick up my bag. Her voice gives me a start and I instantly shut my locker door. I look over and see that it's Kaori Saiki who spoke to me again. Uh-oh. If she saw what I have in my bag, there could be trouble. What do you want? I asked Saiki this since it's rare for her to come over and talk to me. She might be mad about yesterday. Do you have any plans this afternoon? How come? I was wondering if you'd come with me somewhere. Saiki fixes me with a meaningful gaze. Who knew this girl would ask me to go somewhere with her? Let's just hope she's not planning to wreak some kind of revenge on me for yesterday's incident. Sorry, I've got a club meeting. I turned down Psyche's invitation. There's something fishy about her asking me to go somewhere. I'm sure she's got some scheme up her sleeve. I'd better be on my guard. Oh, come on. Can't you miss the meeting? She makes it sound so easy, but if it really were that easy to miss meetings, I'd have quit long ago. My life would be a lot easier if I could. I say this with a sigh. That's right. I don't know where she came from, but suddenly Amari is standing between us. Okay, come on, let's go, Minase. Come on, hurry up. Hey, hold on, will ya? Ignoring me, Amari continues to jerk on my arm. I find myself being dragged towards the art room by Amari. Really now? But I'm not giving up. What was Saiki talking to you about just now? Nothing. Nothing worth mentioning. Really? Amari has a look of utter disbelief in her eyes. Hey, are you free on Sunday? Amari suddenly asks me this as I'm struggling in front of my canvas, my pitiful imagination and artistic talent working at full blast. I do have the presence of mind to whisk the canvas out of the way before Amari can see it. What's this all of a sudden? Nothing. If you're not free, then no big deal. I don't have any plans. What's up? Well, it's just, it would be nice to hang out when we don't have school, don't you think? Amari looks a little embarrassed when she says this. Could it be she's actually asking me out on a date? Shiver. No way. Amari and I have never, ever gone out on a date before. I mean, we're not even in that kind of relationship. This is weird. Did she eat something that didn't agree with her? What's gotten into you? I mean, okay, so we'll meet up, but what are we gonna do? You'll find out on Sunday. And anyway, if I told you now, you wouldn't come. I don't like the sound of that. I hope she's not planning to take me somewhere really weird. Maybe Amari's fallen into the hands of some religious cult and she's planning to take me there on Sunday. And maybe she and the crazy cult leader is probably going to be calling himself God or going to try to brainwash me. Terrifying. Just the thought of that is terrifying. If that's the case, then I'll have to rescue Amari. Amari, just don't get involved in any religious cults, alright? Huh? What in the world are you talking about? Is this another one of your daydreams? I really think you should try to kick that habit. Oh, so it's not a cult. Then I wonder what she's up to. Could it be that maybe the magic spell is belatedly kicking in? But if that's the cause, then the effects are too feeble. So anyway, we have a date, right? Now don't forget and oversleep. Right. After this conversation with Amari, I go back to work on my campus. I don't have time for idle chatter like this. My top priority is to somehow fix this terrifying portrait into something that the human eye can endure. But for some reason, the more I try to fix it, the weirder it gets. Finally, the club meeting is over and Amari and I leave the art room together. We change our shoes at our lockers and leave the building. I look in the direction the voice came from. Kiari Saiki appears from behind a pillar. I didn't know Saiki was still here. What are you doing here at this hour? I was waiting for you. You'll come with me now that your meeting is over, won't you? Was she waiting until now for that? Amari stands next to me, watching with an annoyed look on her face. There's tension. Sorry, but I'd already said I'd go home with Amari. But I'm the one who asked you first. She's right, actually. And if she's been waiting all this time, then it must be pretty important, right? That's okay. Go with her. Don't worry about me. I can just go home by myself. Unexpectedly, Amari breaks in after listening to my exchange with Saiki. For some reason, she doesn't sound as energetic as usual. Sorry, Amari. No problem. We're always together anyway. Okay then, I'll see you tomorrow, Minase. Sure. So saying, Amari trudges homeward. I feel kind of bad now. It's like I'm forcing you to come with me. What do you mean, like? You are forcing me. Oh well, the way she's going, I just know she'll dog me forever, no matter how many times I blow her off. In that case, I might as well just get it over with. So I leave campus with Saiki. Saiki and I walk off campus side by side. It feels unnatural and uncomfortable for me to be walking with Saiki along the same path I always take with Amari. So, what's up? I can't take it anymore that Psyche's holding out on me. No way could this be a date, not with Psyche. What could this introverted black magic freak possibly want with me? Well, I find you interesting, Minase. Huh? You said just the other day that you didn't like me. What's gotten into you? Yes, I suppose you're right. You ridiculed my magic. That's what I didn't like about you. But now I know that you're the same as me, so I've changed my mind. Same? Give me a break. Why should I have to be lumped together with a magic freak? Besides, I'd like to know what made you change so suddenly. Someone who declared he didn't believe in magic suddenly started practicing it in one day. But why? Tell me, Minase. This girl wants me to tell her the secret of my power? So she wants to see that book of magic? Well, I'm sure someone like her would drool for a book like that. Here we are. This is my house. With that, Psyche stops walking. The house looks brand new. I can see the name Psyche on the nameplate. You'll come in, won't you? I have a lot of questions for you. No need to be shy. Nobody's home anyway. She goes inside without waiting for my answer. I have no choice but to follow her in. I'm forcefully invited in, and she leads me upstairs to her room. Please don't mind the mess. The room I enter is just what you'd expect from a girl like Psyche. It's hard to believe it's the room of a girl my own age. Amari's room has all sorts of stuffed animals and knickknacks scattered around, whereas this room has no decorations whatsoever. It's just the kind of room you'd expect Psyche to have. I look around my surroundings. There are piles of books scattered around, candles of all colors, tools I can't really identify, bottles holding various kinds of incense. There are magic circles and charms taped to the walls, making it eerier than ever. You've got good taste. I say this with an exasperated look on my face. I turn my gaze towards the huge bookshelf against the wall and look at the books stored there. They say a look at someone's books will reveal that person's tastes and preferences, but... Evil sparrows. The shelves are jammed with thick books. Unlike my own bookshelves, there are no comic books or magazines. I look closer and see that there aren't just Japanese books, there are foreign books too. What do you think of my collection? She asks me this as I'm looking at her bookshelves. She's changed out of her uniform. She seems very proud of her books. I find a lot of the same titles that I borrowed from the library, but she has far more than the library. I have nearly all of the famous magic books. Of course, they're all modern English editions that are still available today. There are very few like magic books that have been translated into Japanese, so I have no choice but to read them in English, but it's made me very fluent. Over here there's Crowley, Fortune, Mathers, and Waite. I have all the books written by modern magicians as well. So saying, she points to a section of the shelves. What kind of books do you read, Minase? The spell you cast the other day was similar to the ones you can find in the Key of Solomon. I'm not really sure. I mean, I hardly know anything at all. I don't believe you. Then how'd you find out about that one? So you really know nothing. Fine, we have a lot of time. If you'd like, you can go ahead and look at any of these books. I can give you lots of pointers. Psyche points to the row of books on her shelves as she says this. She says I can look at any of them, but the titles are all in English. I reach for a book at random. Grimoire of Honorius. That's Pope Honorius's grimoire. They say that the original manuscript was written by Pope Honorius III in the 13th century, but in fact it was a false pope named Cardus who wrote it. It's an infamous book of magic. The striking thing about it is you can tell the rituals have been strongly influenced by those used in Catholic mass ceremonies. Except, of course, the content is black magic itself. There are numerous spells that claim to have been approved by the Pope. I've never personally heard of this book before. There are many legends surrounding this book. According to one, you can use it to find the location of the hiding place of the Knights Templar. Red Dragon. In Japan, it's the magic book Akaryu. As a book meant for the dissemination of magic, it's the most well known. It mainly focuses on communicating with spirits, how to act as a medium, and it's based on a manuscript written in the 16th century, although it was allegedly published in the 19th century. Since there's a lot of overlap with the Great Grimoire, it's often regarded as an altered version with various addenda. This is a book for the dissemination of magic called The Black Pullet. It's well known as a popular book of magic in Japan as well. Never even heard of it. It's said to be based on an ancient manuscript. It contains numerous charms against evil, as well as circles of protection and chants to accompany them. The famous chant is recorded in this book. This is a book of magic published in France in around the 18th century, known as the Great Book. It covers necromancy, mainly on communicating the spirits of the dead and summoning demons. Now that is a real book. Book of Sacred Magic of Abremel and the Mage. They've translated this wrong, but yeah, I've read this one. Now this is a famous magic book called the Abramelin. That's what it's called. They say it was written by the sorcerer Abraham of Wartburg for his son Lamarck in the 15th century, but some sources say it was actually written in the 18th century. It's a book about the practice of magic and contains all sorts of magic squares. That it does. Lemageddon. I've heard of this one. Lesser Key. Mm-hmm. This was the one. I'll tell you what it says, then I'll tell you what I know. Lemageddon. Yes. Primarily known as the Lesser Key of Solomon. Remember, there's a greater key and a lesser key. It's the great book of magic said to have been written by King Solomon. Yes. The Goetia. It's also known as the Goetia after the first text, or Book 1. It's comprised of four texts in all. It's divided into the Ars Goetia, the Ars Theurgia Goetia, the Ars Polina, and the Ars Almadel. It contains information on powerful magic spells such as how to summon the 72 different demons and other charms. Okay. Let me tell you something. After she gets done. Okay. Okay, so let me give you guys a little history lesson here. First of all, Japan and video games are not... they're not too unfamiliar with this book. Goetia? Okay. Do you guys... I know you've played Persona 5, the Royal. Did you know that the entire Goetia, or damn near all of it, is summonable in that game? Also in Persona 4, and also in, believe, in Persona 3. It goes pretty far back. Because remember, it was based on Shin Megami Tensei, which was greatly inspired by the Lesser Key of Solomon. Yes, this is a real book for communicating with demons. Some have said that, you know, playing with these games, those kind of games, it is kind of like a demonology. I mean, because they're actually portrayed the way they are in the book. And if you don't fucking believe me, go look it up. Look it, because the descriptions of the demons are actually in the Goetia. And if you've actually... There's a game, Shadowheart's Covenant. You'll actually get a map of Hell, and it'll have all the different 72, you know, princes of Hell. There, you know, you'll see the different layers and areas, and basically you have to find that in Shadowheart's Covenant. It was a PS2 game, really, really, really great PS2 game. But there's a lot of that as well. But yes, I do know people that have worked with demonology, that not only worked, but summoned them. Yeah, I know people that work with demons. Do I? No. But remember, a lot of demons are just fallen gods or whatever, you know, like people believed in this, and they're like, oh, you can't believe in that anymore, so we have to turn it into this hideous thing. And remember, as it is said, if you... This is actually said in the book. I believe it's said in the Key of Solomon. But when you go and you summon something, and you're like, you see it as this horrible, terrible fucking thing. You know, it's going to appear as a horrible, terrible fucking thing to frighten you. Remember, that's one of the things that they say in the greater, I believe it's either the greater or the lesser key. But they're going to try to frighten you when they appear. That's one of the main keys. And I'm not talking about keys as in the books, but one of the keys to the ritual. If you're actually trying to summon something, it's going to appear frightening. It wants to frighten you. It wants to have power over you. So you have to command it. You have to show authority so that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have that power over you. Because it can, you know, it will try to destroy you. That's one of the things that it's like, how dare you summon me? You know, like one of those things. You don't know what the demon was doing. Maybe it was taking a shower. And you summon it, and then it's like, hey, what the hell? It's like, oh, you want me to be a fearsome demon? I'm gonna be a fearsome demon, you know. That sort of thing. So, that's what you're gonna get from the Lemageddon, or the Goetia, Thurgia Goetia. And you can summon that, they've got all kinds of little, sigils for the demons. Again, don't do this, like, thinking, oh, I gotta, you know, but a lot of people have used the sigils for different things, because the sigils, basically, there's money, there's all kinds of things. You're like, oh, the elite's done it. Yeah, of course the elite's done it. That doesn't mean that, you know... I mean, it is what it is. I mean, some are, like, sacrifice and all that. That's why I don't really get too much into the Goetia. Black metal bands and all that are big into it. Black metal was pretty much formed around that whole Goetia satanic concept. That's what I know about the Goetia. It's a book that not everybody needs to mess with. It's the most famous of all the magic books. Everyone who's ever tried their hand at magic owns a copy of this one, along with the Key of Solomon. I don't know what that is. This one's called the Book of Truth, and it was published in Memphis by the Egyptian Arabic in the 16th century. And no, not Memphis, Tennessee. The original manuscript was written in Hebrew using the Key of Solomon as its guide. It says that a Dominican monk translated it into Japanese. There are other books of magic based on the Key of Solomon, variations such as True Black Magic or The Secrets of Secrets or so on. Yeah, of course. And the Key of Solomon. The Key of Solomon. Out of all the books of magic, this one is considered to be the most authoritative. Authoritative. Well, yeah, it's good, but Magic in Theory and Practice, you know, Aleister Crowley, that's considered to be one of the best books on magic ever written. It's said to have been written by the Hebrew King Solomon, and there are actually records of its existence dating back to the 1st century BC. Because of this, there are many versions in many languages. The oldest existing edition is the Greek version from the 12th century, and it's owned by the British Museum. It covers demon summoning rituals and various ceremonies in great detail. Countless practitioners of magic have recognized its power over the years. During the 15th century, it was even banned by the church. It wouldn't be an understatement to say that all books of magic have been influenced in some way by the Key of Solomon. That's true. Yep, the Key of Solomon. You know, it was said that Solomon formed a ring with the names of God, and he used it to control angels and demons, and he wrote a book. And that's considered to be, like, the most, like I said, the most authoritative book on magic. So there you go. And, I mean, I've looked at it myself. Of course I've looked at it. I looked at the Greater and Lesser Key because they were very interesting to me. Well, pretty impressive, isn't it? I went through a lot to get all these books. I've got other books by Cavaro and the Alchemist too. Would you like to see them? I've had enough of indulging Psyche in her boasting. No, that's okay. I think I've seen enough. Oh, but I have so much more I want to show you. I can't believe she collected so many of these weird books. Alright then, I guess you can tell me now, all about your secret. Psyche turns her gaze on me. I don't like the way she's looking at me, as if she can see right to my soul. Besides, I never promised I'd tell her anything. I never said I had a secret. That's the kind of person she is. She just doesn't listen to people. But I don't have any secrets. You're lying. You can't fool me. That spell the other day, it was one of the love curses. A spell to manipulate another soul and force them into lewd behavior. You couldn't have cast it if you didn't know anything about it. You're a lot more cautious than you look. Psyche stares at me as she says this. Have you ever heard the whole story about what happened to those girls 12 years ago? Psyche brings up the subject abruptly. Nope. The magic club from 12 years ago, is Psyche onto me or something? But come to think of it, all I know about that long ago club is what I saw with my own eyes. The basement room and the Book of Magic. I can only guess what it was they actually did. They only started practicing magic out of curiosity, and their spells were all child's play at first. But gradually things started escalating. They began tearing apart live animals as sacrifices and offered their blood and souls to the demons. Those girls actually performed anachronistic rituals, you see. And finally, Psyche's tale sounds like total hogwash, but as someone who's seen the basement room, I have a feeling it's all true. I've heard they use their power for a lot of things. Just like you are now, you know, curses and stuff. And they say the curses they put on people are effective. What are you saying? Oh, it's just a parable. All I'm interested in is the reason why someone like you with hardly any knowledge of witchcraft was suddenly able to wield that kind of power. Please, Minase, won't you share your secret with me? Please, Minase? Psyche pleads with her eyes. It's like she's licking me with her gaze. I can see another side to Psyche at this moment. Of course, I'm not asking you to share it for free. With that, Psyche spreads her legs wide on the bed, trying to seduce me. Deep inside her skirt, I can see her lewd crotch veiling her underwear. This girl is a lot more forward than she seems. Normally, she's got an anti-man barrier around herself, but now she's being seductive. Looking at her now, I wouldn't mind doing Kiori Psyche. Never mind her personality, she's not bad looking. Well, please? I don't know what you're talking about. I avert my gaze as I say this. If I look at Psyche, I don't think I'll be able to stay rational. Don't be so cold, just tell me. Look at what I'm doing for you, just so you'll tell me, see? Psyche spreads her legs wide so I can get a better view of her vulva. It's no use. Even if I try to resist, my gaze is drawn to the area between her legs. If you tell me, I'll do something that'll make you feel so good, you know. Uh-oh, the second she feels that, I can feel an erection coming on. Even though I know I shouldn't, I can't help but help looking forward to what she's proposing. Cut it out. Anyway, if I did have a secret, I'm not so retarded I'd tell anyone. Isn't that one of the first rules about being a magician? I brush away my lust and tell Psyche this in no uncertain terms. But even as I'm talking, I'm getting an erection. I give you credit for saying that. Granted, what you say is true. So sexual advances aren't gonna work, huh? Do you find me that unattractive? Psyche's face suddenly returns to its normal expression as if nothing at all has happened. She straightens her clothing and stands in front of me. I inwardly breathe a sigh of relief to see that Psyche's returned to normal. If she had been more forceful, I'm not sure that I'd been able to resist. I guess I made a fool of myself. I'm sorry, I was excited and got a little too intense, but please don't look down on me. I'm all right now. As Psyche speaks, I can't find a trace of the sultriness she displayed a moment ago. It's like she has a split personality. If we're through here, I'm leaving. Wait, I'll give up on finding your secret. But could you do me one favor? I look at her suspiciously. She still got something up her sleeve? True, I wouldn't expect someone like her to give up so easily. What do you want? I'll hear you out, but that's it. I act like I have no choice. Surely it wouldn't do any harm just to hear what she has to say. Thank you. Hearing my reply, Psyche smiles. You see? There's a group of us girls who are in the magic, and we have a sort of secret club. You know, like those girls from 12 years ago. The Club for Depressing Black Magic Girls? That's the most ominous-sounding secret organization I've ever heard of. And you see, we're having a meeting today, and I'd like you to come watch us. Our rituals? What the hell kind of rituals would they be? I certainly hope they're not going to handcuff me and then beat me with a whip if I go along. I can't rule that out entirely in her case. I believe in your power. I'm not going to tell you to join us, but I'd appreciate it if you would just observe one of our meetings. Okay, please? What should I do? I don't really want to go, but I'm curious about what they do in their meetings. Plus, they might be disagreeable types, but they are girls after all. Why not give them some credit? Okay, if all I have to do is watch. Really? I'm glad. Everyone would be happy to have you, although there are actually only three of us, including me. Where is this meeting going to happen? We've pulled our money and rented a room in a nearby apartment building. That's where we hold our meetings. The secret altar, huh? I thought they were just fooling around, but it seems a lot more serious now. We're gonna meet at 10 tonight. Why don't we meet up in front of the school gate? Is that okay? Sure, 10 p.m. in front of the school gate, right? Right, make sure you show up. Sure. I agree with Psyche and leave Psyche's house heading home. Click. I'm home. Hey there, you're late getting back today. My sister welcomes me home. I had some stuff going on. I answer in a tired voice. That reminds me, I ran into Kurumi Amari a little while ago. She seemed a little depressed. Did you two fight again? No, we didn't have a fight. You two are boyfriend and girlfriend, so don't spend all your time fighting. Try to get along. Since when are we boyfriend and girlfriend? Come on, you're famous in the neighborhood. Childhood sweethearts are so rare nowadays. So have you two done it yet? My sister asked this question with a leer on her face. What the hell kind of question is that? For some reason, this abrupt question fills me with confusion. I've never even kissed Amari, let alone massaged her breasts. Wait, when we were little, I remember kissing her once. But no tongue, and her chest is so flat there's nothing to massage. Besides, I've never even fantasized about Amari. I mean, I might have done it once or twice for some crazy reason, but... Oh well, never mind that. It doesn't matter. Kurumi's the only girl to put up with someone like you, so you better be nice to her or you'll be sorry later. Mind your own business, will ya? Anyway, who are you to talk? Not one boyfriend at your age? What'd you say? Isn't it true? Listen, you. Do you even know how popular I am at school? I have to beat those guys off with a stick every single day. It's such a headache. Don't you mean you throw yourself at their sticks every day and it's such a headache for them? Quiver, quiver, quiver. Whack! I'm assaulted by my sister's fist and I go flying. How dare you say something like that to your older sister? So saying, she storms out of the room. I have dinner, take a shower, then as usual, I sit down with the Book of Magic. I try to open up to the page I started working on last night about the gate opening ritual. The page about the ritual held 12 years ago. I'm planning to finish summarizing that section tonight. Flip, flip, flip. I flip through the pages in search of where I was. This is when I notice for the first time that there's a page that feels different from the rest. When I feel the page again, I feel that it's thicker than the others. Crack. While I'm studying the page, one corner splits. It's actually two pages. And it's right around the last page, the page I just skimmed through without summarizing yet. Carefully, I try to peel the pages apart. Crackle. I'm taken aback when I see the separated pages. There's a huge reddish-black stain covering both sides. That's why they were stuck together. I know instantly it's a blood stain. Just like the blood stains all over the basement room, this is from 12 years ago, I'm sure of it. There are other flecks of dried blood here and there throughout the book, but the stain on these pages is way bigger and seems a lot fresher. But why such a huge blood stain on just these particular pages? I decide to translate the words on these pages. If I figure out what's written here, it might give me a clue. But I'm soon to discover that it's a futile task. The blood stain is stuck firmly all over the pages. The blood is blackish and congealed, covering the pages so you can't see the words underneath very well. The upper right corner is free from blood, and there's an illustration of an ugly demon. I figure out that it's a drawing of the demon Asmodeus. But the only words I can somehow make out are just fragments, and one line that's completely readable is just a list of gods whose names mean nothing to me. I utter these names out loud as I make notes, but after I've written them down and looked them over, I still have no idea what they mean. The crucial parts have been obliterated completely. I give up, put down my pen, and push the pages back together. Not surprisingly, those blood-stained pages aren't the nicest things to look at. Changing course, I find the page I was looking for and start translating. I immerse myself in my task for a few hours and glance over at the clock. Better get going. I'm supposed to meet Psyche at 10. It's time for me to get going. I leave the book the way it is and stand up. It's probably a good idea not to bring it along. I get myself ready and leave the house, heading for the school. In the darkness, I can see the glare from the lights of the school. I just snuck into school after hours the other day, so it was nothing new to me. I walk up to the school gate and look around. So you came. Psyche speaks to me from the shadows and appears before me. She's holding a bag and a long stick of something wrapped in a cloth. Of course, I promised, didn't I? Let's go then, it's just down the street. So saying, Psyche starts walking. I follow her silently. Everyone should be there by now. I'll introduce you to them, Minase. Friends of Psyche's, plus they're in the black magic, so they've all got to be pretty freaking out there. Scary masks, I'm pretty interested in meeting them. I'm sure they're prototypical introverted geek types. If it's a friend of Psyche's, there's no way it's a normal human being. Here we are. After walking for about 10 minutes, Psyche stops in front of an apartment building. I follow Psyche into the apartment building. We take the elevator and go up. We soon find ourselves standing in front of a certain door. The nameplate is blank. Psyche presses the doorbell. Ding dong! Who's there? Immediately we hear a girl's voice along with some static coming from the intercom speaker. It's me. Wait a minute. Click. Eventually there's the sound of the door being unlocked. Psyche opens the door and goes inside. Go inside. No need to be shy. I accept her invitation and gingerly step inside. It's dark. It's dim inside the room. The only light comes from a candle. Sorry, it's so dark. We don't have any electricity because there's no need. They're gathering at night and they have no electricity? They're a bunch of freaks after all. You're late, Kaori. We can't start without you, you know. The girl who just said those words emerges from behind us. Sorry. This is Taki Manase, or Minase, the guy I've been telling you about. This is a member of our coven, Jun Amatsuki. Nice to meet you. I'm introduced and bow my head. It's a girl I've never seen before. I wonder if she's not from our school. And contrary to my predictions, the girl in front of me actually looked normal. She didn't seem like a freak. But then there's an example of Psyche herself. No matter how she looked on the outside, she could still be totally wacko on the inside. Nice to meet you, Minase. I've heard you from Kaori. The girl named Amatsuki smiles as she says this. You're late, Kaori. And eventually another girl arrives behind Amatsuki. Well, we can't even consecrate the square unless you come. The girl spoken looks like the active type, unlike Amatsuki. This girl doesn't look like the quiet type of girl would be in the black magic. I'm getting more and more lost here. Now that I've seen some actual black magic enthusiasts, it doesn't seem as cruel as I thought. Let me introduce you to someone. This is Minase, the guy I've been telling you about. And this is Maki Kuramoto. I bow my head in acknowledgement. Hey, so this is your boyfriend, Kaori? Good for you for showing up with your other half. Don't make jokes like that. Welcome to our coven. We're glad to have you. The girl named Kuramoto is the boyish type. She looks more like the type of girl to be in the sports rather than something of this nature. The four of us, Saiki, Kuramoto, Amatsuki, and myself, finish the introductions and move into the back room. Door opening. This is the ritual room. When I enter the large room, I can see a lot of candles lined up across the floor and in holders. The flickering light from these candles is what's eerily illuminating this room instead of lights. There are black curtains covering all four walls, covering them along with all the windows. And on the floor, I can see a circle of magic, a combination of a circle and a triangle. The ritual room. It's very similar to the secret room I'd seen in the basement, except for the fact that there's no bloodstains here. Quite frankly, it wasn't a very tasteful-looking room. If someone saw this place, they'd call the police right away. Alright. We're going to go prepare for the ritual, so just wait for us, Minase. So saying, Saiki leaves the room. I'm left alone in this ominous room. But you can tell just by looking around this room that the girls are practicing serious witchcraft. If they were only fooling around or doing it as a hobby, surely they wouldn't go so far as to rent this room and do all this. Could they really be into magic? I can't deny it's a seductive kind of power. And I know firsthand what that power feels like. Sorry to keep you waiting. I'm standing there lost in thought when Saiki returns to the room. Saiki and the other girls were dressed in black robes. They looked just like a coven of three witches. Not only that, but they were either naked underneath, or they were only wearing their underwear. They only have those robes over their bare bodies, and they look extremely seductive. Please try not to stare at us too much. This is actually embarrassing for us, too. Saiki doesn't seem all like herself when she says this. Saiki doesn't seem at all like herself when she says this. In contrast to the way she acts at school, she seems a lot more animated. But this is the way we have to dress for our magic to be effective. Ideally, we wouldn't be wearing anything at all, but that's a little too much. It would be incredible to see these three lined up butt naked. Alright, why don't we begin? Yes, let's do that. So, who shall we summon? First, let's summon Dantellion. If that goes well, we'll switch to Astroloth. Those are high-level spirits. Do you think we can manage them? Yes, just leave it to me. The three girls nod and take their places. You better come into the circle too, Minase. You'll be affected by the spirits if you stand there. I step into the circle like I'm told. Alright. Saiki says this once she takes a sword from Amatsuki. We hereby announce the start of this meeting. Consecration in the magic circle. Saiki nods her head and stands in the center of the magic circle. Then Saiki takes a deep breath and begins to chant. Why don't I call her Bluff? We hereby humbly enter this circle. この場に払いたまえ混乱と争いを追悼するこの縁を平和の天使たちの場面として支え When she's finished intoning this lengthy prayer, she stops to take a breath, and again she begins to chant arcane words, making the sign of the cross. Psyche picks up the sword, holds it against her chest, and points the tip towards the ceiling. She traces the edges of the magic circle with the tip of the sword. They finish the long chant at last, and the room is once again silent. Next, they burn incense, and soon the room is filled with fragrance and smoke. Lemageddon, please. Psyche takes the book from Amatsuki. Opening it, she begins to intone the spirit summoning chant. Again, the voices fade away and the room is enveloped in silence, but although the silence continues, nothing happens. It's no good, I don't feel anything. Kiramoto speaks up, breaking the silence. But we felt the spirit's presence last time. Do you think maybe we should have tried to summon a lower class spirit? Alright, I'll try the spell for breaking the chain of restriction. So saying, Saiki gathers up her concentration once more. Just as before, there's no change. Saiki begins to look somewhat panicked. She starts chanting in a desperate tone. Saiki finishes intoning the long spell and waits for a reaction without moving a muscle. And again, a long silence ensues. Saiki hears a sigh and the tension breaks in an instant. It's no good. Today, there's no reaction whatsoever. Maybe we chose the wrong day. It's not unusual. They only make rare appearances anyway. I suppose you're right. I think we'll have better luck on the next Sabbath. And remember, Walpurgis night is coming up. I'm sure it will go well that day. This seems to convince all three of them. They close the magic circle and we make our exit. In the end, nothing happened. Not that I ever expected a demon to really appear or anything. You can chant all you want, but there's no way a demon would appear just like that. Even those girls from 12 years ago couldn't make it happen. What did you think, Minase? Unfortunately, we weren't able to summon a demon. Care to comment? It was an interesting ritual. That's it? Yeah, and I hate to burst your bubble, but I really don't know that much about black magic. Never mind power level, when it comes to sheer knowledge, these girls have way more than me. In the first place, I've never summoned a demon before, and this might be possible, but the Book of Magic will at least tell me how to do it. That's alright, you don't have to be modest. Listen, why don't you drop by the day after tomorrow too? We're gonna hold a ritual on the Sabbath as well. Yeah, you should come, you're more than welcome. What do you think, Amatsuki? Yeah, you should come. I know it's a secret club, but it's a little sad to only have 3 members. See, everyone wants you to come, so I hope you do drop by. No way I could turn down a whole group of girls. Besides, I kind of like the idea of being the only guy among a trio of girls. Sure. Really? We appreciate it. Okay, that means you're one of us now, Minase. Hey, we should have Minase take part in the ritual next time. I'd like to see what kind of power he has. Good idea. I'll make sure to get a rope for Minase by then. Suddenly, I feel like I've lost control of what's happening. It's getting late. I'm gonna head home. I decide to leave before they go any further. Oh? Well, then we still have to clear the room. So you can go on home, Minase. I decide to do what she says and go home. Bye, Minase. See ya. I tell them goodbye and leave the building, the cold night air hitting me outside. A secret club to practice black magic, but having watched them go through all the hassle of that old ritual to no avail, I can see that they're no more than dabblers. I return to my room and sit down once again to tackle the Book of Magic, and I go back to work on the gate summoning ritual. While I'm working, I remember Psyche's ritual. It was the same one as I'm translating now, a spirit summoning ritual. Suddenly, I wonder exactly what I'm doing, translating something like this. I'd started out casually, but knowing about these rituals means that I'll also be able to use them. And there's no denying that I'm going to want to use them. There's no difference between what I'm doing and those girls from 12 years ago were trying to do. But I can't just stop now. I'm close to finishing this ritual. Will I be able to fend off my own desire, I wonder? But despite my inner turmoil, I continue to steam along until I've deciphered the entire section about the ritual. I'm done. I'm done with my time-consuming tasks and I take a break. It's after 2 in the morning. I'd better get to bed or I'll get hell from Amari again in the morning. I lean against my chair and start thinking about what I've just translated. The spirit summoning ritual itself isn't very difficult. It consists of a series of ceremonies modeled on the mass. You pray to the gods, you summon the spirits under the gods' power and protection, and then attempt to take control of the demons. It's similar to the one Psyche and her gang carried out today. If you succeed, you'll come into power beyond human understanding, the ultimate truth that every practitioner of magic lusts after. It wouldn't be hard for even someone like me to carry out such a ritual. It's entirely possible now that I have this book in that basement room. The only thing is that unlike Psyche's ritual, this one calls for a live sacrifice, and this varies from spirit to spirit. If you want to summon a more powerful spirit, the sacrifice has to be in line with that level of power. If they followed this book, then those 12 girls from 12 years ago must have used a... Or those girls from 12 years ago must have used a live sacrifice. What was it that they saw? I'd be lying if I said I didn't care, and now I have the means to find out. If I succeed then, I'll acquire more power than I have now, but it's also highly likely that I'll end up in the same way those girls did. What I've got to do first is go back to that basement room and look around closely. It all started in that room. The answer's got to be there. Wake up, it's morning. Jeez, why does it have to be this way every single day? Come on, get up this instant. Russell, Russell, Russell. Oh man, I guess I have no choice. Okay, before Amari does some other crazy trick to wake up Minase, we're gonna go ahead and end it because I'm getting tired and it's late. And we're on day 5. There'll actually be some hentai scenes. I think there's one. It's really short choices. And then 6 has a bunch of freaking choices. A bunch of hentai and on day 6. So stay tuned for that. If you guys want more Bible Black, just let me know. I know it gets really deep in ritual and some of you guys aren't down with that, but that's just the way it was written. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I'm out of here. I'll see you guys next time on Grim Sentai Corner.